Today's topic has to do with ribbis. So I figured that I'm not sure who's learning Daf Yomi, but Daf Yomi is learning through Ezu Neshech, which is a parak all about ribbis. A very complicated shaila, very relevant shaila comes up probably more cases than you realize. It's not simply just lending money on interest, but there are many other ways a business can be structured whereby ribbis is at play. So here's a particular case. We'll go through this case and then some of the heterim, if there are any heterim for this case, but something to keep in mind in your own interactions in business, asking the right shaila is whether or not you're in violation of ribbis or not. So the case is there is some organization in Eretz Yisrael called Yad Sara, and Yad Sara lends out medical supplies, wheelchairs, crutches, could be even carriages, whatever it might be. And the arrangement is that if you, let's say, borrow from them a wheelchair, you have to put a deposit of 300 shekels. That's the arrangement, 300 shekels. You borrow the wheelchair, and then when you return it, you get your 300 shekels back. That's the case. It seems very fair. No question of ribbis. However, there is a question of ribbis, because even though I'm the one borrowing the wheelchair, and I'm depositing 300 shekels for a security, now this organization called Yad Sara has on loan, 300 shekels, which it could use to buy more wheelchairs and whatever it might be. And then when the time comes, it returns the 300 shekels to me. It completes its loan. And so I was the lender, and I got interest, although it wasn't a financial interest. I was using their wheelchair. Interest isn't only a financial level. The halacha is, let's say I borrow money from you. So I'm the borrower. I can't go out of my way to do something extra for you, even if it's not financial. If, let's say, I was not friendly with you, but I went out of my way to say good morning to you while I'm borrowing money from you, that would be a subject of some level of ribbis dvarim, of words, a ribbis. So ribbis can come in many different ways of when the borrower, rather the lender, the malva, the lender, is gaining something in addition to the money being returned to him, he's gaining something as well. So here, I borrowed the wheelchair. I lent money, if you will, as a security. I lent money to Yad Sara. So I'm the lender. I get the money back when the loan's returned. But while that happened, I also benefited from their wheelchair. Is that a violation of ribbis? That's a real shaila that Poskim dealt with this particular case. Is there ribbis or not? So that's the structure. That's not a classic case of ribbis. But now you just break down the different pieces and the structure comes out. I'm a lender. And I'm getting ribbis, the benefit of the wheelchair. That's the shaila. Is that subject?
Like a dollar for the rental of the wheelchair, and then you're paying for the wheelchair a dollar, but you're lending them the money, not for the wheelchair.
We'll jump to that since you suggested. So one of the, there are like 7, 8 heterim here. We're not going to go through all of them. But one explanation is as follows, like you just suggested, which is that maybe restructure in a way where I'm not borrowing the wheelchair, but I'm actually buying the wheelchair or partnering in the wheelchair. So when Yad Sara gives me the wheelchair and I lend money, don't view it as a loan, view it as a purchase. So now I pay 300 shekels of the wheelchair and they have 700 shekels, let's say it's 1,000 shekels, is the value of the wheelchair. So now I bought with a partnership with them and I have the right to use it and they have the right to use it when I return it. And that structure would seemingly be okay if it was structured that way. However, Yad Sara does not mention that. And when the person borrows the wheelchair and gives the deposit, it's not said in anywhere in the documents that you're the buyer. And when I return it, I'm reselling it. If they were to structure that way and write such a document, make it very clear you're right, that would be definitely one heter you could rely on. It's a purchase as opposed to a borrowing. Excellent.
So when is a deposit a loan?
Ah, very good. So that's another avenue. So he,
right.
No.
But if you take a hold on a credit card, the money doesn't go into your account.
Well, let's hold off on a credit card for a second. For this case, Binyamin's suggesting I didn't give it as I wasn't lending money to them. I was it was a security deposit. They wanted to have a security that makes sure I don't run away with my wheelchair. So I have to put 300 shekels in. So in fact, some suggested there's a very important sefer written by Rav Yaakov Blau Zitzal. He has a sefer called Pischei Choshen, which is around 8, 9, maybe even 10 volumes on Choshen Mishpat. And he's a separate sefer called Bris Yehuda on Ribbis. Ribbis is not in Choshen Mishpat. Who knows which chelik it's in? Shulchan Aruch. Yardaya, not Chosh Mishpat. It's in Yardaya. There are 4 Chalakim, just quickly Chazer. There's Orachayim, which talks about everyday stuff. Talks about Shabbos, Yom Tif. There's Evan Ezer, which talks about Ishus. Chosh Mishpat talks about Mamanis, and Yardaya talks about Isser. What's everyone laughing for? Is Bas B'chalov thing. So Ribbis, although it has to do with money, It's actually in Yardaya because it's an Isser involved in that. Fine. So it's in Yardaya, not in Choshen Mishpat. So Rav Yaakov Blau was a banker in Tel Aviv. One day, like, he came out with a massive set of svarim. No one knew who he was. An incredible, exhaustive sefer on Choshen Mishpat, plus a chelek and ribis. Very impressive. So he brings down this discussion with Binyamin's suggestion that when you give money towards a deposit, that's not a loan. Even though money's going and money's coming back, that's not a loan. That is a security. And he gives an example. Apparently, I don't know exactly the case, but apparently some type of structured merchants and couriers were as follows. I don't think anything set up like this. You let me know if I don't know. But the way it worked was, if I want to export merchandise from, I don't know, Eretz to America, so I send it in a boat, and the boat takes it over. I would imagine the way it's, I have no idea, but I imagine nowadays you pay a service to the boat, the guys running the boat, the company, and you pay them. The way it was done in some case he was describing in the Sefer was that, no, the shippers say, we're going to take the merchandise from Eretz to America for you, and we're going to take 10% of the profits. That was the way it was structured. And if we make a mistake and the ship sinks, we lose it, we pay you everything. That was the structure. So, and you know, you're the manufacturer, so you put all the money in, and I want to make some profit off you. So I'll do the hassle of shipping it across the sea, but I'll take a 10%, that's my gain. And if I don't bring it off, I'm losing. I pay for all the merchandise. That was the arrangement. I don't know if it's arranged like this. I imagine it's not set up this way. But I assume you pay the carrier. But that's how it was done, apparently, in some case. So they said, now the owner of the merchandise said, listen, to the boat, you want to make money off me, that's fine. I'll give you the 10%. But how do I know you're not running? And if it sinks, you don't pay me the money back. I want up front all the money of the merchandise. Give you $1 million worth of merchandise up front now. Once you bring it over to America, I'll return the $1 million to you, plus I'll give you 10%, the $100,000 I owe you. That was the way it was arranged. So now here, in that structure, it looks like it's a lending money in a ribis, because the shipper's company paid me $1 million, or gave me $1 million. I return the $1 million after it was shipped, plus I gave them 10% of profit. That's a similar case to what we're describing here. But those $1 million were not really a loan. It was really a security. So he says it was apparently the poskim allowed that, and therefore it's okay. It's not viewed as a loan. It's viewed as a security. And it's a security and a profit. They're not connected to each other. And for that reason, it would be okay. That's what Binyamin's suggesting. However, what? Cash is fungible. But that you could get around a lot of things that way. But you have to make it structured in the documents to make sure it's not going to be ribis. I mean, many structured ribis, I mean, a regular loan, it's complicated. Either way, the Rav Yashar writes, he doesn't agree with this. Rav Yashar goes against this. He does not think this is correct. He thinks, I don't care if it was viewed as a deposit. If money was transferred and money was returned and more money was returned than that was borrowed, that is called ribis, according to Rav Yashar. He did not accept this particular heter. Now, others did. Rav Yashar did not. So this heter is subject to a debate, whether or not it's acceptable. That's certainly one avenue one could take. Another avenue is as follows. If you take a look in the first source here, Daf Ayin. Is it Daf Ayin? Anyone do Daf Yomi here? I have to put you guys on the spot. Where either way, it's I think coming up. I don't know if we did Daf Ayin yet.
But why doesn't a loan require no documents? Like, everything in Jewish law requires documents.
It doesn't require. You could do a milva al peh. That's okay. But if you want to structure it where it's to avoid ribis, if you want to make interest, but make sure it's not a halachic ribis, you have to structure it in a way where it's no longer considered a loan. It's rather viewed as an investment, which is, in essence, a heter iska of sorts.
Okay, fine. But it's the other way around, where it's a security deposit. It's a shtar that says it's a security deposit. Why is it then become a loan?
Right. So I don't know exactly. Part of what's unclear, I don't know what's actually written in the documents here. It seems just, which seems very unofficial. You know, write your name down, I took it out, and then it wasn't, if it was structured in a way, even if it was structured as a purchase, then certainly that would deal with that. If it's structured even as a security, so I'm not sure if that would help. I don't know.
But the reality is, if you gave, look at the boat example, someone gave you $1 million, you ended up taking that $1 million, invested it, lost it, they can't come after you. They don't have a lien on anything.
Yes, seemingly not, depending how it was structured, unless they do have a lien. Right, so in the fact that they lend the money, they would owe the money back. I mean, if I was the shipping company, I returned the merchandise I brought over, and you took my $1 million and ran with it, you owe me money, because our arrangement was you pay me $1 million for shipping the merchandise. Even though you lost it, you have a liability.
But that liability is not because of the loan. The liability is because I delivered the merchandise.
Okay, so that's okay. Could be. I hear. Now it's getting a little bit more sophisticated than I'm able to understand. I understand, but I don't know how to break it down that much. But I hear the difference. Okay, the next hetter is as follows. You look at the first page here. The Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Ayin is right in the center there, at the brackets. Amar Rabba Bar Shila Amar Rav Chista Amar Yitla Amar Rabba Bar Yosef Bar Chama Amar Rav Sheshes Mal She Yisomim Mutter Lahalvosan Karv Leschar Virachuk Lehefsid. The din is money of Yisomim. You're allowed to take that money, lend it, or let's say invest it in such a way where it's going to be Karv Leschar, where you're going to likely make money, and Rachuk Lehefsid, but they're far from Hefsid. What does this mean? We know the classic case of ribbis is, I lend money, and you return the money with interest. Fine. Chachamim created a further, a gzeira, what's called the avak ribbis, ribbis derabanan, even though it's not a classic case of lending money, but a person, why is ribbis asr? If you get to the root of it, why is ribbis asr? Because you're taking advantage of somebody else. You're taking advantage of a person who needs the loan, so you give him money, but listen, you owe me 8%, 10%, 15%, whatever the amount is, and you're taking advantage of a person, and I have the upper hand. Right? 40%. So he needs the money. I have the money. So I have the upper hand here. So it's unfair. I have all gain. And if he doesn't pay me back, I'm going to collect all his property. So I have the upper hand. That's, in essence, what ribbis is usher. Chachamim say, if I structure a loan or an investment whereby I'm investing $1 million, but listen, these are the terms. If you lose the money, if your business goes down, I want all $1 million back. But if you make money, we're splitting 50-50. So I only want the gain. That's what's called in the Gemara, karv l'schar, likely you're going to make money. Rachok l'hefsek, very hard to lose the money. That's an unfair business, but that's not ribbis. That's me investing money in a case where I structure where I'm going to most likely make profit and definitely not lose money. That was unfair. Chacham say that's also aser midirabanam. So nonetheless, Chacham say, in certain situations, we allow you to invest money in such a case of karav l'schar, rachok l'hefsed, like for yisomim. Like orphans, orphans are at a disadvantage. We're trying to help them out as much as we can. They don't have a father to help invest, to set them up in business. So we're going to invest their money in safe ways where they could only make money, not lose money. So in the case of yisomim, we are makel by ribbis dirabanan. So if you just look at Rashi to explain that, on the right side, Rashi writes karav l'schar, Shehayu Yisomim Nolin Chelek Beschar, that they would take from the prophet. Ve'ei Nolin Chelek Behefted, but they wouldn't take any loss. Ala Ribis Mamish Lo, Ela Mash Yistiku Memos Yachloku. It's not really Ribis. We don't allow them really to violate Ribis, but we allow them to have this what's called Ribis Dirabanam. So if that's the case, so one suggestion is not only by Yisomim, but any time there's a case of a mitzvah. The case of Yisomim is a mitzvah of Chesed. But any other case of a mitzvah, we would allow you to have such an investment, such a structure. So maybe the case of Yad Sarah, where they're lending out medical supplies, which is a beautiful mitzvah to do, so then maybe there should be a heter to allow for ribbis too. However, our case is not ribbis d'rabbanan. Our case is ribbis d'araisa. So this, as Rashi says, we only allow ribbis d'rabbanan in an investment where there's only what to gain, but to allow ribbis mamish, this would not serve as a heter b'makom mitzvah b'makom chesed. But there is a magen avram. If you look at page number 2, there's a magen avram that seems to allow even ribbis d'araisa b'makom mitzvah, which might serve as a heter. So you look at page 2, the top bracket there, loven b'ribbis l'tzarech sudas Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch there, this is the first siman in Hilcha Shabbos, Reish Mem Beis, talking about how important it is for people to spend money to buy Kavod Shabbos, to own Shabbos food and whatnot. And even if a person is in dire need and very poor, he still has to do what he can to make sure he has the Shabbos food. So even if he has got to borrow money on ribbis and pay interest back, he should be loving beribbis letzarech su the Shabbos or su this mitzvah. To have have money to buy food for a Shabbos meal or su the Shabbos, one would be able to borrow in ribbis and loan in ribbis. Now, just to be clear for a second, when it comes to ribbis, one would think only the lender who's making money is subject to ribbis. That's not true. Even the borrower, who is the victim, if you will, even the borrower is going to be subject to issur ribbis. So regardless of which side of the line you're on, there's an issur ribbis to lend on ribbis and to borrow on ribbis. But, says the Magen Avraham, b'makom mitzvah, so the Shabbos and the like, you can borrow on interest. We see, so you can violate Isser Deraisa Ribbis for the purposes of a mitzvah. So here's well. But Yad Sara, maybe there's a heter to lend money to Yad Sara on Ribbis because it's a makom of the mitzvah. However, the Prima Gadim in Eshel Avraham in the bottom there says a very important word, Lovin b'ribbis v'chulei b'heter. Only in a heter way. Doesn't mean just lending and borrowing interest. In a heter way, heter iska, whatever, heterim, but not to say real ribbis is allowed. Vein lomer, not to say yidcha asei da'achila Shabbos l'lav. We're going to say the asei of Shabbos is docha the lav of ribbis. We're not suggesting that at all. So don't take the Magen Avraham literally that you're allowed to borrow an interest. And this is how the Mishnah Berurah paskins, also like the Prima Gadim, that we don't allow real ribbis b'makom mitzvah, only ribbis to a heter do we allow for it. And this does not serve as a heter for the Yad Sara case of lending on ribbis b'makom mitzvah.
He's not saying anything then.
Exactly. He just says, through a heter iska, which in essence is not ribbis. Exactly, right. And he seems to be saying that, you know, a person should feel, even though he's going to be losing money, he'll pay more than he's borrowing, he's losing out, a person should still, if I borrow money, fine. But to borrow money, you have to pay an interest through a heter. You have to go that extent. So it's not a din in the ribbis. It's a din in how far you have to go to make sure there's food on your table.
Is there any place to say that the Magen Avraham that even if you're saying that there's a heter for ribbis, it's only on the person like taking who needs the money. But meaning to charge someone interest is still the usher in that situation.
Because then it would
from the borrower's point, right?
He has an obligation to do it, but you can't. Who's going to get it from though? Right. Who's going to lend him if the lender has an isser?
Right.
So unless you,
have people out there,
right?
that's with
an eiver to borrow. What was your question?
No, same thing.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Go into detail of what the heter would be in the heter. Could you explain it?
How heter iska works?
That and also lending is a mitzvah in itself.
But ready to built into the mitzvah of lending, it's already asr beribis. The Gemara Pasuk already says it's asr to do beribis.
But even if it's the mitzvah of lending,
that's by definition.
Well, the mitzvah of lending is lending without interest.
Now, in terms of Het Isker, I could say just al regla achas, it's kedai to really appreciate to go through the suga, which I'm happy to dedicate the next Sunday on this topic, Het Isker. But in essence, I don't fully grasp it. But in essence, instead of being viewed as a loan, it's viewed as an investment of sorts, and you're working for them. So if I'm... it's a package. So you pay $1, to the guy. So I'm, I invest, the bank lent me money. And now I'm paying the bank back on interest, my mortgage. I'm paying more than I borrowed. So now I'm in violation of ribbis. They're in violation of ribbis. So now this view of the bank's giving me an investment of money, actually. I'm the worker. I'm the partner who's working for it. They'll pay me $1 for my services. And now I'm not borrowing anymore, but I'm investing and working my property, the house. So it goes up in value that me and the bank are both having our house go up in value. And that's the partnership as investors as opposed to borrowers and lenders. That's the basics. It's a little bit more complicated, I think, than that, but that's, I think, the simple understanding. Okay, let's go through another heter. Rav Moshe has a well-known shiva. Those who are in the world of loans will know this Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is not widely accepted, but it's important to know. I happen to have someone who's in a particular business who's, without getting into details to disclose, known from the shul here, but that business does run a lot on loans with interest. He's aware of it. He's trying to fix it in the backwards of sorts. It wasn't his. It kind of took it over. And so he was a little disappointed that it gets so much work to uncover, restructure everything that he owns and does. But I said to him, this Rav Moshe, at least you could hang your hat on this Rav Moshe to be comfortable. What's Rav Moshe? Rav Moshe writes that the Isser Ribbis only applies to individuals one to another, Reuven to Shimon. But once you have an entity of sorts, a company, enterprise, whatever that might be, whatever structure you have in, that then already there is no violation of Ribbis, an entity is not subject to Ribbis, in which case we would solve all problems for the most part, because most people don't open up under their own name. They have some type of partnership. I don't know the various details of it, but that's where Moshe's heter. I believe Rav Moshe says
on the individual.
I believe Rav Moshe says, if depending on who's lending the money, if it's a corporation lending, even though it's to an individual, that's okay.
If the other way, that individual also has the issue with us.
Right. I don't remember the tshuva exactly. We could go through those details. But I think it's as long as the lender is a partner. If a individual lends to a partnership, to a company, that might be subject still to this. It's really what it comes from. That could be wrong. It could be in either party has the partnership, might be sufficient.
You have the same
deal that personal guarantee. So this is, by the way, to Dawit's point. So that's, by the way, that's the big shiloh they have in Rav Moshe. Moshe says, against Rav Moshe, it's not about an entity or a company. Once there is a personal liability, if people are responsible, now obviously different companies are set up different ways, but there is no personal liability. But their big taina against Moshe was that although it's a corporation, two partners go in, they still have personal liabilities, the shibudim and responsibilities that may have. They may only agree in a case where there's no personal liability, but if it's a company whereby there is some personal liability, even though it's made in a partnership, they argued with Moshe Feinstein saying that there still would be ribis that's relevant. So even those who argue, when it comes to this case at hand, the Yad Sarah, there's no personal liability at all. It's an organization. No one has any responsibility. It's a complete chesed that's being done. And no one's responsible, in which case, even those who argue by emotion general would agree seemingly in this particular case, since there's no personal liability involved here, that when I lend money, give the money deposit to Yad Sarah, and they return the money, plus I get the ribbis back from the use of the wheelchair, that will not be subject to ribbis because there's no individual on the Yad Sarah's end. It's only a company of sorts, an organization. And that's a heter, what he writes here, would certainly be okay according to everyone. So a few different heterim that we could work with. We'll do one last heter here, which is follows. There are a couple more, but I'm not going to go through all of them, but we'll do one more and I'll recap what we had gone through. Let's say the borrower. The classic case of ribbis is if I'm borrowing money because I need the money. I need the money, and then you're charging me ribbis, you're taking advantage of me. There is a Chumas Adeshin, who writes, let's say I'm borrowing the money, not because I need it. I'm borrowing the money for your benefit. It's some toelis for you. Why? Why would you do that? Why to borrow money for your benefit? I'm borrowing money just so I can pay you back ribbis. I don't need the money. I got plenty of cash. I'm okay. I'm borrowing money just as an excuse to pay you back plus 10%. I'm doing you a tova. That's out of my league. So now, that would be allowed. So if you just look here in the last page, last Meir Malkum in the Ramah, Ramah writes as follows. Mi she'eina tzarech l'lavos ma'os. A person does not need to borrow money. Rak l'tovas ma'alva. He's doing the benefit of the lender. Omer lo, boni l'cha churva zu, v'chol ma'ashe totzi al zeh, alai l'shalemecha. Build for me this churva, this house, this area of some sort. I'll pay it to you. V'chol z'man she'eina sh'mishalemecha durba b'chinam. And so long as I don't build it, I don't pay you, you're allowed to live there. Mutter ho v'ein kan halva rak aseh l'tovas ha'malva. I'm doing you a tova. I don't really need the money. You lend me the money. And in the meantime, I say you can live in my property for free. Ah, but aren't I a borrower? You're the lender. How can you live in my property for free? That's considered ribbis on top of what I'm lending you money. So he says the concept is whenever I'm borrowing money, not because I need the money. I'm doing you a tova of some sort. That's not called a halva. That's not called ribbis. So in this case, Yad Sarah, I'm depositing money to Yad Sarah. I'm the lender. They're the borrower. They don't need my money. I'm doing it as a security. They made me, but they don't need my money.
They need the money to go buy the other stuff you said.
No, I said they can do it in theory. They can, in theory. I don't know if they really can because then their down money, they have to return the 300 shekels back to me. They don't know when I'm returning it necessarily. But right. But it could be. They're building up a Ponzi scheme of sorts. But either way, they right.
Wait, it's from their perspective that they need the money. They're the ones who require the money as a deposit. So, can't run away.
Great question. But they don't need the money.
It's not the borrower or the wheelchair saying, I'm going to give you 300.
Right, but they're doing it, but they're only doing it for the toelis of me, so I can have the wheelchair. That's the purpose. They're not doing it because they want the money to invest. They have a system, organization, that they said they're doing a tova for those who need the chesed. So they gave me a wheelchair. Now they want the money so that I could allow me to take the wheelchair so they have their security. But the purpose of this whole organization was for my benefit, for me to have the wheelchair. And therefore, the suggestion is that when I give the money, they're borrowing the money not because they need the money. They're borrowing the money because so I could have the wheelchair and they have their safety, they have their security, in which case this would not be structured as a classic case of halva, would not be subject to ribbis, and therefore would not be any problems. Let me recap quickly what we went through. We went through a few heterim. One is that Binyamin suggested that this is not called a loan. It's a security. Security is not subject to the halachas of halvas, and therefore not subject to ribbis. We suggested maybe if you give the money, it's viewed as a purchase, as your partner. You're partnering with Yad Sarah to own it for these few weeks when you're using it. But the difficulty with that suggestion was, since apparently it's not ever articulated, that's being viewed as a purchase and then a resale on the back end, so it's hard to rely on this unless they start putting this in writing that's viewed as a buy, and a purchase and a sale. We discussed whether or not lending in a case of Makom Mitzvah is allowed by Ribbis Dirabanan. You're allowed to lend b'makom mitzvah, but by ribbis deraisa, the poskim, though it's a discussion, the poskim in the end don't allow for it. And then the other heter we discussed was a company. A company is not subject to ribbis, but the poskim argue since there's personal liabilities in many companies, it would be subject to ribbis, but in this case, there is no personal liability by the Yad Sara. And then the final heter we had was, when you're doing for the purpose of the malve, why you're borrowing the money not for the purpose of the loaveh, that would not be subject to ribbis either. Okay, we'll stop here.